welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. And happy Friday. It's Jessica, and I'm so glad to be with you for another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. So today I am, as you're listening to this, I'm in Utah. I'm visiting my friend Allison, the Allison Show, and she threw her birthday party last night with 600 of her dearest friends at a big dance party. And actually, I've never been to one of these dance parties, so I'm recording this before I go. But by the time you're listening to this, I will have already partaken of the amazing event that is Allison Faulkner's dance parties. And I can guarantee I had the time of my life. I danced my little booty off and had a blast, but I'm probably dog tired as well. So I can't wait to share more about that next week on the episode on Friday. But I hope you enjoyed Julie's episode this week. Wasn't it so heartfelt and amazing? I love when we get another perspective from a mom where we may not really understand what they're going through if it's something that we've never experienced, but I really felt so much more aware and compassionate for people like her who suffer from a physical disability, and it gave me some ideas of ways that I might be able to support people like Julie as, you know, I see them around my community, and I just appreciate her vulnerability and her outlook, and I just hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So thanks for tuning in. And as always, if you enjoy the podcast, share the show with a friend. If they don't know what a podcast is, will you grab their phone and say, hey, you have an iPhone. There's a purple icon that says podcast. You can't delete it. Let me show you how to add Extraordinary Moms Podcast and then help them go through and pick out all your favorites. There are so many good ones to reference, and there's just something for everybody. So if you haven't already done so, if you're new around here, make sure you're subscribed. That way you never miss a new episode either. But going back, you'll need to download individual episodes. If you subscribe today, it's only going to help you going forward. So anywho, I wanted to talk today about dealing with overwhelm, time management, life organization, and things of that matter. I hear all the time from moms who just say that they don't have enough hours in the day. They feel like they're just struggling to survive. And I have been there, especially when you have little ones where you're home so much of the day and you can just behold the mess all day long. And, you know, you feel like there's always something you should be doing. I'm in that phase right now. I get it. And then once your kids are older and you're out of the house, you know, you may be go, go, going and not realizing how messy your house is or how you didn't plan dinner until you finally get home at the end of the day and you're like, was my house always this messy? Or who's going to cook dinner? So if you're not planning ahead and you're not well organized, you can really suffer in those seasons. And so my goal today is to share just a few tips that have worked for me personally. I'm no expert at this, and that is why I reached out to our listeners. I wanted to get your ideas about how to be more organized, to use your time better. Just basic mom hacks that just set you up for success so that you can be a little more on top of your game and just enjoying the season that you're in, even if it's pure craziness. I can't change that. Sorry about that. So I'll start out first by talking about a few things that have worked for me, and then I'll share what some of our listeners shared. And they had some great, great tips and things that reminded me, oh yeah, I did that one time. I should do that again. Or maybe it's brand new to me. So maybe some of these will stick out to you. The idea is not to add more to your plate. The idea is to make your life easier and more enjoyable. So take from this what you will. Maybe grab one or two of these ideas that you think might work for you in the season that you're in. And just see how it goes. If it's not impactful, try something else. You're not committing to any of these things forever. Sometimes motherhood is all about trial and error. So let's just get to it. So the first thing is meal prep. I'm a big meal planner. I enjoy that. I like looking over the course of the week, and I usually plan about 2 weeks ahead with some flexibility. I'll plan like 4 meals during the week, knowing that a couple of the days will probably have leftovers. If you're not a leftovers fan, you should probably become a leftovers fan. It is so much better to cook too much at one time and then eat it the next day for either lunch or dinner and send it, you know, with your spouse for lunch than it is to cook a novel meal every single night. No thanks. I don't have time for that. I don't have a desire for that. And it just makes me so happy to open the fridge and say, what's for dinner? Oh, I made it last night. So if you don't like leftovers, give it another try. Or try repurposing. That's my favorite thing too. If I have extra meat left over or something, I'll try and reinvent it with a new type of meal. So anyways, back to meal prep. So I like planning ahead so that I don't go to the grocery store, you know, more often than I need to. So that cuts down on wasted time. So I plan ahead, I get all my ingredients, and then I partially prep meals ahead of time. So that basically means I either pre-cut or pre-cook meat. So I might boil some chicken and then shred it and freeze it. I might buy multiple rotisserie chickens and pull the meat off of the bones for that and divide them into Ziploc bags and label them and throw them in the fridge or freezer. I might buy a huge thing. I've talked about this before, a huge thing of chicken breasts, and I might butterfly some of them. I might put some in bite-sized pieces. I might throw some in a marinade in a Ziploc bag and then put it all in the freezer. I literally only buy meat about once a month because it freezes so beautifully. You could also cook ground beef and freeze that after it's been cooked. So that way, once you thaw it, you can just throw it into a chili and it cuts down on your cooking time by about 8 minutes because you're not having to brown that meat. Also with vegetables, if I have an onion, I'll dice up an onion. I hate doing that. I hate touching chicken and I hate cutting onions. So if I can do that all at once and cut a bunch of onions, I'll cut some in some slivers for fajitas and I'll do bell peppers and I'll freeze all of that. I'll dice some and I'll put it all in the freezer. And if I do it all at once, it just makes it so much easier. And then I don't have to dirty a cutting board later in the week if it requires another onion dish. Also, you're going to grab whatever snacks are available and quick and easy and accessible. So if that's a bag of chips, if that's cookies, if that's, you know, any of those processed things, if that's your easy grab, that's what you're going to eat, even if you're trying to be healthy. So either don't buy them in the first place or make healthy things more accessible. You know, cut fruits and vegetables ahead of time so that when you open the fridge, that is an easy grab instead of just the chips, they're an easy grab. That's a great way for me personally to try and eat healthier during the day. And for my kids too, they're able to grab those and it's much easier. Okay, number two. Sorry, that was kind of long-winded, but number two, this one is a favorite of my mom, and she always says, do one thing at night that will make your morning easier the next day. So that could apply to a whole slew of things. If you know that you have to be out the door to school early in the morning, what's one thing you can do at night, the night before, to make your life easier the next morning? Is it making lunches the night before? Is it laying out your clothes the night before? Is it taking a shower the night before? Is it, you name it, loading the backpacks and putting them by the front door? Any number of things. You know, if you know you have to get out the door to go to work, make sure everything is in your work bag and then you can just hop right out the door. And same for your kids. Help them to pick out their outfits the night before so that when they wake up in the morning, they're ready to go. I have toothbrushes laid out the night before so that it's easy and accessible and easy to grab. And you'll find that when you plan a little bit the night before, you really set yourself up for success the next morning. I especially find this for church when we have a lot of bags and stuff and snacks and da-da-da-da-da. We're always running late when I don't prep the night before. But when the church bag is ready with, you know, activities for the kids, snacks are ready to go, church clothes are already ironed the night before, putting in that little bit of effort really decreases the stress and ups our feeling the spirit when we're not stressed out and yelling at everybody to hurry and get in the car because we're late. You've never been there, right? I haven't either. So number three, don't overload your to-do list. And we've had lots of people talk about that as I'll go through as well. But if you just have item after item after item on your to-do list, you're not going to do anything because you're just going to be paralyzed with overwhelm. And so by paring down your to-do list, you're going to be much more effective at doing the things that actually matter. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. Okay, this is one of my favorites. Do something to completion. When you are in a season of overwhelm, so like 3 weeks ago, I was moving into my house in Camarillo. All the boxes had just gotten dropped off by the movers. There's just stuff and boxes everywhere. I felt very overwhelmed and like this was a job that was never going to get done. So I had to start somewhere. So I started unpacking some boxes and I'd get a few things put away. But ultimately, the more that you unearth, the more, you know, of a mess and a disaster it looks like, you know. And so once I found my spices, I posted this on Instagram a couple weeks ago. Once I found my spices, I love having my spices in a drawer. I used to have them in my cabinet, but they were hard to reach. I was always knocking them over. I couldn't read them. I couldn't see them very easily. And as a baker and as a cook, I love to use my spices. And so I was using them often and it was just driving me crazy. So I emptied out one of my utensil drawers and found another spot for the utensils. And I put all my spices in a drawer. They're all laying down, they're face up, and they all fit perfectly. If I had too many spices, I got rid of the ones that I really wasn't using at all. I don't use dill. So I got rid of the dill. But make sure all your spices fit in that drawer so you can lay them down face up. Let me tell you, even though my house remained in chaos for a lot of that weekend and there was still stuff on the counters and I didn't know where my muffin pans were going to go yet, having that sense of satisfaction that that one drawer was beautifully complete gave me the motivation to keep going. And so if you have, you know, a disorganized house or you feel like there's so many things on your to-do list, don't pick something where it's, you know, you're not going to have closure on that task. If it's something that's recurring or you're just never going to feel that sense of satisfaction, don't focus on that. Try and start your day or, you know, try and get to something where you can really have that sense of closure and completion and satisfaction. Because when you do, it will not only make you feel good at that moment, but it will inspire you to keep going and to want to have that feeling more. And I just found that to be so, so motivating. Another thing is I like to do things in the morning that cause momentum. So if it's an insurance bill where you know you're going to be on hold for 45 minutes in the morning, I do not like starting my day with calls like that. If it doesn't go well or I'm on hold for 45 minutes and it's kind of screwing up the rest of my day and making me frustrated, that is an awful way to start your day. But if you start your day with something like working out or going on a walk or doing the dishes or starting laundry, something where you can do something to completion or something that can really fill your soul and fill you up in a positive way, if you do something like that in the morning, like I said before, that will give you momentum to go about the rest of your day with the same type of positivity and just motivation to do, to get things done. And not just in a, like, I have to be productive, I have to be, you know, busy and going all day long. Not in that type of sense. Just in a way where you want to feel like you're doing meaningful activities. They're really adding to your life. So do things in the morning that give you momentum. Okay, so now let's get to some listener contributions, which I just loved. So Brooke Greenstreet, hi Brooke. She said she loves to clean the kitchen at the end of the night. And if she goes to bed with a clean kitchen, she feels so much better about things so that when she wakes up the next morning, she's not waking up to a disaster in her kitchen. Because I mean, isn't that the place that we start most of our days? You know, we start with that breakfast meal. And if you already have a sink full of dishes or a cluttered counter, oh, that really can feel overwhelming, can't it? So she says, even if it's 10:30 p.m., taking just 15 minutes to clean up that kitchen and have everything in order, she said that just gives her such a great feeling. So I can identify with that, Brooke. I don't always do that, but I try to at least get the sink cleared, and that feels really good. Okay, Anna Bergevin says she likes to make her bed every day because she likes that sense of tidy and it gives her a clean space. And she says she also uses a paper planner and she likes to do her planning on Sundays for the week. Yeah, I really love that. You know, some people really like digital planning and Google Calendar and things like that. And I think that's great for a lot of people. But I'm a paper planner too. I love Barnes & Noble always has this great calendar where it's a thick book and it has big rectangles for, but I can still fit, it's not really a big book. You can fit it in your purse, but it has big rectangles for each day so that you can easily put notes and obligations and appointments and everything written in those squares with, and you're not cramming them in a teeny tiny square, which I really like. But I like paper planners too, making out those lists on paper because I love writing to-do lists and then checking it off or crossing it out. And even if it wasn't previously on the list, I find that I will go back and add what I did to the list just to cross it off. So I can say, hey, look what I did today. I really accomplished a lot. And I think too, like she said, on Sundays, planning ahead for your week. So, you know, okay. And, you know, getting your spouse involved. What are we in for this week? Who's going to take so-and-so to soccer practice? You know, who's going to cook dinner this night? What nights are we going out? Things like that. So that you're all on the same page for what your week's going to look like. That could just give you a better handle. And so you're not stretched thin like, I have to be two places at once on Wednesday. You've already thought through that and it causes far less stress. Okay, Lucy in the Little says she loves, even if she's not going anywhere, I love this, she loves putting on mascara and perfume because it just adjusts her attitude. I love that. I totally agree. Some moms feel like, you know, if they're not leaving the house, especially when you have a baby, if you're not leaving the house, you know, just stay in your jammies or stay in your comfy clothes or workout clothes or whatever. And if that makes you feel good, that's totally fine. That's great. But it sounds like for Lucy, when she gets dressed and when she puts a little bit of effort into putting on mascara and making herself smell better, I totally agree. That can totally change a frame of mind. I feel the same way about putting on a little bit of blush and brushing my hair. Can I let you in on a little secret? Maybe this is TMI. I wash my hair about every 7 to 8 days because I just literally don't have the time because I have really thick hair and so it takes a long time to dry. So I put in the effort on that day one to dry my hair and curl it. And then I just spend about 5 minutes adding curls every day in the morning. And as opposed to like really washing and drying and then curling, oh my gosh, I'm saving so much time. I'm saving probably an hour and it's fine. And so if you're somebody that needs to wash your hair every day or so, you know, try and just train your hair to go a little bit longer. And then that way you can cut down on a little bit of that time. But whether it's adding curls to your hair or putting your shoes on or, you know, I get dressed every day. Sometimes I end up in my workout clothes if I know I'm going to be, you know, doing a lot of cleaning or working out later. And, you know, that's totally fine. And if that's comfortable to you, that's great. And there's so many cute workout clothes nowadays. Sometimes those are the cutest outfits. But put on whatever makes you feel good. I know I just don't feel my best and I don't feel motivated when I stay in my pajamas for too long. But as soon as I get dressed, take a shower, and I mean, I'm the fastest shower. My husband takes long showers and he's like always baffled how I like hop in, do my business and hop out, you know. But if you can just hop in the shower real quick, even if the baby's crying in the crib for just a few minutes, it's worth it to make yourself feel better. I totally agree, Lucy. What mascara or what perfume do you like, Lucy? I'm curious. Okay, so Mary Carly says she likes to turn on music and she likes her kids to choose the music as well and just enjoy cleanup time. You know, that can feel kind of boring and strict if you say, okay, we're going to clean up. And then it's just kind of like dead silence. But if you put on music and you're kind of dancing around, doing your daily cleanup or, you know, hourly cleanup or however you do it during the day, if you put on music, it's so much more enjoyable. Kelly Munt also said that. She says she loves to turn off the TV and turn on Pandora. And she did that when she was a teacher in her classroom. And it really just brought a sense of calm and enjoyment to the classroom. And she's like, why haven't I been doing this in my home? And I totally agree. It is so much more pleasant to hear soothing music and or even just upbeat positive music than it is to hear cartoons in the background. And I mean, it's amazing how many times I know I turn on the TV in the morning and it's still on a couple hours later and no one's even watching it, right? Even our kids get burned out on watching TV eventually. And so I wish I would just turn it off. If they're done watching it, turn off the TV. You don't need that noise. And turn on that music. There's so many great options with Spotify and Pandora and Apple Music and Amazon Music. And I mean, the possibilities are endless now for, you know, all sorts of on-demand type music. So yeah, I love letting your kids choose the music too. That's really cool. All right. Sarah Burton says, if you can do it in less than 60 seconds, do it now. I love that. That's perfect. I also like if you are downstairs and you know you're going upstairs, find something you can put in your arms that needs to go upstairs and take it with you. And even if you just bring it closer to where it needs to go, eventually it'll get there. Try and just put it away right away. So if it takes less than 60 seconds, like moving the clothes over from the washer to the dryer, just do it. Instead of saying, oh, I need to do the laundry. I need to do it. Just do it. You know, you could spend 60 seconds talking about doing it, or you can do it. Just do it, right? Nike had it totally right. You know, whether it's, you know, quickly packing a lunch, whether it's refilling water bottles, you know, taking 60 seconds to just clean the bowl. If there's only one or two bowls and a few silverware pieces in the sink, just clean them. That would literally take a minute. You know, making your bed, that takes 60 seconds. You know, grabbing a few things that could be taken from the car into the house, 60 seconds. I love that motto. She also says she loves grocery delivery, and I've actually haven't done that. What do you use, Sarah? Do you use Amazon Prime or Amazon Pantry, or what do you use? I know that a lot of grocery stores are doing it too. Another thing that's really great I've heard is ordering your groceries online and then going to the grocery store. You park in their special little spot, and then they bring the groceries out to you and load your trunk. Isn't that so smart? Especially in the winter months, if you live in a cold climate, that is just genius. I did that one time in Virginia, and I have no idea why I didn't do it more. That just, I don't know why. That's crazy. But I think that's a great idea, especially if you're in a busy season of life. Grocery shopping can take a lot of time, and you save money because if you're like me and I go grocery shopping, I'm like, okay, well, that's not on the list, but that looks good and that looks good. And ooh, cookies. Oh, that's good. And I impulsively buy a lot more things. But if you're super particular about what you buy online, you're not buying those extras. And so if there is a fee, you are just saving money ultimately and you can pay for that fee. Good. She also mentions having her kids help clean, and I totally agree with that. But make it fun. Make it a game. Time them. Turn on music. Make it a really enjoyable experience and work together as a family team. I think that's great. All right, Marissa McCauley. Oh, guys, Marissa sells Roden and Fields, and I'll link to her, and I'm going to talk about her in a couple weeks. But that's the skincare for adults from the makers of Proactive, and I've been using it the last few weeks and months, and I've just loved it. So I'll link to her in the show notes as well if you're interested in getting more information about the Roden and Fields skincare line. But I've noticed a lot of difference in the dark spots on my face, definitely lightening up and just having my face look a little brighter. So anyways, that's a little plug for Marissa. But Marissa says, whenever she has a lot on her mind, she likes to do a brain dump on paper. Marissa, I'm the same way. Did you get this idea from Power of Moms? They talk about this a lot, but doing a brain dump where anything that's on your mind, whether it's personal stuff, whether it's a list of to-dos, anything that's on your mind, get them out on a piece of paper, because if you can just acknowledge that they're already somewhere being acknowledged on a piece of paper, they're not being forgotten, it can really help your brain to turn off and not keep stewing over the same thing again and again and again and not feel like you're going to forget it or like you have to overanalyze it. But I love that idea as well. She also says make a specific list from your brain dump and make really specific actionable items. And then set the timer for 15 minutes and go to town on that task. Whether it's, you know, oh, you have this mountain of laundry. See how much you can get done in 15 minutes. Or cleaning the kitchen. Set the timer for 15 minutes and see how much. Cleaning up the toy room. Whatever it is. 15 minutes. Going through emails. If you just charge ahead and devote 15 minutes, I guarantee you'll be shocked how much you're going to get done. 15 minutes goes fast, but you can also be super productive in 15 minutes. Love that, Marissa. All right. The other thing that Kelly Ment said, in addition to turning on Pandora, was that she has a shoe bench by her front door and also a tub that kind of collects all the things that come in the door. So shoes, backpacks, papers, and as that collects everything, she never has to wonder, you know, where her child's backpack is or where the folder is or where the shoes are. They're always there by that front door. So it just takes the guesswork out of all that. And it's an easy thing for her to direct her kids to. If say, okay, load up your backpack and go put it by the front door. That's setting yourself up for success for that next early morning, right? Where you're like, okay, kids, let's go get in the car, grab your backpacks. And they're not searching the whole house for it. It's already there. I love it, Kelly. That's awesome. Okay, next we have the May Day Market. And she said when she had postpartum depression and she was seeing a counselor and was feeling really overwhelmed, she got the advice to stop making huge lists. And we've kind of already touched on this. The longer your list, the more feeling of paralysis you get. And you just feel like, there's just too much. I can't, you know, really make a dent in it anyway. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and veg. No, if you make your list smaller actionable, like pick three things that are most important. I love that. That's a great tip. Pick three things that are most important. And that way, if you only accomplish those three really important things that day, you can feel really good about yourself. Anything else is icing on the cake, right? I love that. So pare down your to-do list. All right. So there's just a few other things that I thought of that might be helpful. I like to group tasks by category so you aren't wasting energy with transitions. We waste so much mental and physical time and energy on transitions. So if you can categorize your to-do list according to computer, home, errands, phone calls, and you're listing them all together, that way, if you're at a time where you're at your computer, you can knock out a bunch of emails at once or visit the websites or make the purchases you need to online all at once. So you're not going, you know, computer test, then phone call, then back to the computer, then in the car, and oh, I forgot to grab the milk at the grocery store. No, all those things should just be listed out in a row so that you can say, okay, I'm getting in my car and I'm going to three locations to get the milk, to do the return, and to get the library books. And it's just boom, boom, boom. And you just knock out all three of those things in one fell swoop. And it's amazing when you cut down on those transitions, how much time you save. So I love doing that. That's an idea I got from Power of Moms. So thanks, April Perry. Okay, tackle the things that are most important to you. So if there's something that's driving you crazy every single day, just do something about it. So if it's a junk drawer that is really disorganized, take 15 minutes, set your timer, set 15 minutes to declutter it and organize it. I guarantee you'll be able to clean out your junk drawer in 15 minutes. And then the next time you open up that junk drawer, it's going to be so nice and you'll be so glad you invested those few minutes to take care of that problem that was so annoying. Maybe it's a creaky door. And every time you open that creaky door, it squeaks and you're like, ah, that door. Okay, go to the store, put it on your list, get WD-40, come back and just take care of it. It'll take 60 seconds once you have that WD-40. Take care of the things that bug you most. If there's something that's, you know, not a real issue, like don't make that a priority on your to-do list. Only put the things on your to-do list for that day that really are going to make a difference in your life. Also, some people say, oh, I wish I had more time to listen to podcasts and, you know, how do I have the time for podcasts? Did you know that you can listen to podcasts at different speeds? There's a little button down, I think it's in the left-hand corner of the screen in like the player where you can listen to it on 1.5 speed or double the speed, or I think there might even be able to go up. Now there's some podcasts, like I kind of speak quickly. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to slow down, but I want to get in a lot of information. but if you're comfortable and the person talks slowly enough and clearly enough that you can increase the speed, that's a great way to get through a lot of content without dedicating a lot of time. Now, some podcasts work better than others with that, but that's an option. So I didn't know about that until like a year ago. And now I listen to a few podcasts like that. I also like to multitask when I listen to podcasts or listen to books. I listen while I'm driving. I listen while I'm exercising or cooking or doing laundry. And it's great. You know, you don't always want the podcast like blasting if you're with your kids. But if you are like cooking dinner or something and they're occupied and it's fine, I like to have like one earbud in. And my friend Pernell does this too. She was just telling me, she's like, well, I'm driving. I'll put one earbud in the opposite side so my son can't see me in the back not listening to him. But if he's just content, you know, looking out the window, it's totally fine. You can hear your podcast in one ear and you can keep an ear out for if they have a need in the other ear. But that's a great way to get through these podcasts that, you know, might really make your day and inspire you and give you that encouragement that you need or the information that you need. And it's a great way to multitask. Okay, just a few more quick things. So prioritize your tasks. What are most important to you? Plan ahead so you don't waste time. You know, if you wake up in the morning and you don't really have a plan for the day, you waste a lot of time trying to figure it out. Whereas if you'd just taken a little bit of time the night before or, you know, on a Sunday planning for the week, planning ahead and knowing, okay, this is what I'm going to do on this day and this day and this day, you don't waste that time wondering and twiddling your thumbs. And then it's noon and you're like, I haven't even done anything yet today. If you know what you're going to need to achieve during that day, start early and get a lot done so that by the end of the afternoon, you're feeling free as a bird and really accomplished. I also like to chunk my time, like I said, kind of like compartmentalizing the types of tasks that I do. If it's like, okay, I really need to clean. So from 1 to 2 p.m., I'm cleaning. Or, you know, I even like to chunk up my self-care time. Like, okay, from 2 to 3 p.m. while the kids are, you know, having quiet time and napping, I'm going to read. I'm going to do that. And I actually like put it on my calendar and I book it so that that can be uninterrupted time for me to do those things. Another thing is having if you have a really lengthy to-do list of a lot of like quick 5 to 10 to 15 minute tasks, I like to devote like an hour per week where I can knock out a bunch of those really menial tasks. So whether it's paying bills or checking a password online or renewing library books or whatever, those quick little tasks, you know, devoting, you know, 15 minutes or up to an hour where you can just knock out as many of those things at a time. That is the best feeling because you get to cross off so many things in such a short period of time. I love doing that versus if you just scattered those 5 minute tasks around during your week, it's not that same feeling of satisfaction. Trust me. So I love having that power hour of just knocking those things out. So ultimately, I want to leave you with this analogy. You may have heard this analogy before, but it's the analogy of the rocks and the sand. And the premise is that our goal is to put in the rocks into a jar first before the sand. And the rocks symbolize the things that are most important in our life, the big things that really add value, that really matter, that are really our priorities. Doing those rocks and putting those into our life first, and then filling in the rest of the jar or the rest of our life with sand. But if we were to fill that jar with the sand first and then put the rocks on top, we would not be able to fit near the number of rocks that we could if we did those little menial tasks first and then added the big things. No, we need to reverse it. We need to start with the big things and then add the more menial tasks in. And you can fit way more into your life. Not that we need to jam pack our life, but you just want to make sure that if you're really analyzing your life and your day-to-day tasks and your day-to-day schedule, are you really getting to the things that are of most value to you and that are of a priority to you? I love the quote, "You value what you spend your time doing." So if you are spending most of your day with sand type activities and tasks, chances are you're undervaluing your life and you're getting less out of your days than you could if you started with those rocks. So think about those rocks and those important tasks. Like what May Day Market said, pick the three things that are most important. Put those three big rocks in your day first and then fill it in with the sand. And you'll be able to accomplish so much more and feel so much more fulfilled as you go about your day-to-day life. So I know this has been a really long one, but I hope that this has been helpful and not overwhelming. Like I said, do the things that resonate with you. What is really troubling you in your life right now? And what small tweaks can you make in your life to just make things a little bit easier and a little bit better? Because those small tweaks go so far to make a big impact in your day-to-day life. I know you can do it. I know you're already doing a great job. But by tweaking these things, maybe it can be made just a little bit more enjoyable and a little bit more relaxed and a little bit less overwhelmed. I hope so. Let me know what works for you. Just don't get overwhelmed even more by this podcast. That's not the point. So thanks for joining us today. I'm super excited about next week's episode. It's with Wynn Elder. Don't you love her name? I think that's so beautiful. So Wynn is the mom of two little children who she adopted from Africa, and excitedly enough, she is now pregnant after a long battle with infertility. So she's going to talk about that journey of coming to adopt her children and that long, long road of infertility, what that looked like for her, and now what she's doing for other women to empower them along that same journey. She is so inspirational, so amazing. You're going to love getting to know her a little bit better and just to be encouraged by her story. I hope you have an awesome week, everybody, and I'll see you next Tuesday for another episode with another extraordinary mom.